episode 39 of the TV News Podcast, recorded June 30th, 2015. Time travel.
So Grant, we were casting about for a name for this episode, and you were like, you're like that one is a mixed bag, and I'm like, how about time travel? Because it's, you know, 1983 Germany, mm-hmm. and the far future bounty hunters of Killjoys, mm-hmm. and another period, which is like 19th century America,
sure,
and then
20th century,
and then catastrophes, which is in England, which is in a different time zone.
Time zone.
That's it. That's the whole reason.
But okay. For those of you who got excited, there is no time travel in this episode. We are not talking about Doctor Who or
it's really misleading,
other time travel. Sorry. But we will be jumping between time periods, so I feel it's accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, we're stuck with the name, so that's what we're going with. This is the time travel episode. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And we have a special guest.
Oh my God, it's Allison.
Allison's back and joining us.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Allison Murphy.
Yeah.
That's me.
We've been wanting to get Allison back on the show. She's the one who put me on. I mean, I've been hearing about catastrophes, but your word of mouth on that was like, I got to watch catastrophes right away.
So I don't know if we're going to talk about that yet, but
a little later, but yes.
A little later. I can't wait to hear what you thought about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Greg is not here because it is his birthday. He is time traveling forward in time like all of us.
It is. He's in Colorado, I think.
Yeah. That's where everybody goes for their birthday.
Yeah.
I wish.
Everyone every day, every
legal
year.
Legal,
right?
Weed. Is I'd that, be there. Yeah.
Ship everyone there for the birthday.
You guys don't go to your birthday every Colorado? Every Colorado every your birthday?
No.
It's going to start.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I thought it was a thing. I guess it was just me.
Well, welcome everyone to our show. Like we said, we're going to talk about some of these new shows that we haven't had a chance to discuss lately because we've been, you know, all up on HBO's dick, it seems like, for the past few weeks. But a bunch of neat shows to discuss. But before we get that, we have some iTunes shout-outs.
Yay.
Or one iTunes shout-out.
Yay.
But it's a really great one. This is from Mount McKinley, whose title says, "The only TV podcast you'll ever need." 5 stars. Quick history lesson. The TV Dude sprung from the pages of the Leog, a dope podcast that was on the late great spill.com. Allison, you were also on the Leog.
Hey, I was on the Leog.
That's right. And the original dudes, Grant, in quotes, Lost, Davis, Randy, in quotes, Terriers, Lander, and Gregory J., The Wire, Amani, Madman, Smith.
Oh, I see how it is. More names, you get more shows.
I guess that's the way it goes. Then broke off to make a podcast that would eventually reboot itself into the sexy podcast you now hear before you. These guys are the reason people always come to me for good TV recommendations. Their whip-smart banter and on-point discussions, with the occasional tangents, generally involving milk conspiracies or the gorgeousness of Connie Britton's feet, really make this show something special. But the real star of the show is, of course, the music breaks. The picks are so hip and so black.
Whoa.
You'll swear you stepped into a different podcast.
What? No, go on.
They're my choices. I'm a pretty white guy, but I'll take it. I walk away almost every week with a new track to download. All in all, these guys are awesome in every sense of the word and are deserving of your attention. So click on an episode, any episode, grab a drink, listen to the Beers Podcast for recommendations, and sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Wow.
That was a great review. That was a great review.
Right?
Yeah.
That was really amazing.
Better than we deserve, honestly.
Thank you, Mount
So
McKinley.
Nice.
I know. Very flattered. I'm a little flushed. If you guys want to help us out, do as Mount McKinley did, and please go to the iTunes store, find our TV Dude podcast, give it a 5-star rating, and write a review. We'll read that on the show. We really appreciate it. That's a great free way to help us get more attention and help our traffic so we can keep doing this. If you guys have money burning holes in your pockets, as some people do. I heard the economy is improving.
Yeah, sure.
You can go to patreon.com/TV Dudes and you guys can donate money to us. We will gratefully accept it, and we will try to put the money to good use.
Yep.
I mean, no guarantees. There might be.
Grant will use it to pay for
his, as well.
Grant will use it to pay for his Spotify subscription so he can keep you in all that great music.
Yeah, and that's I pay for my music, right? Money. We didn't get any donors this week, but please help us out. We appreciate it. Let's move on to questions. We got a bunch of questions.
Okay, good.
I suspect this is because I let the cat out of the bag that we had. That a special guest here.
A lot of questions for Allison.
Yeah. No way.
Way.
People give... Okay.
All right.
I'm excited.
You're a guest star.
Let's answer some questions.
If this was the 70s, you'd be the last person credited as special guest star Allison Murphy.
Yeah. Also, and then it would have my name.
Yeah.
And I'd get like a little skinny microphone and a rod perm.
Nice. All right. I'm gonna introduce this question as a prompter so you guys can have it in the back of your mind. I imagine you might want to think about this one a little bit.
Okay.
James Lee says, what is the single best episode of TV you've seen this year? For him, it's Better Call Saul's 5-0. It's the Mike episode. Man. But if you guys want to...
Yeah, a little percolate.
Yeah,
little
percolate
bit.
On
whoa.
It. Let's jump to another question. This one's from Kyle Shuttler, who says, have you guys seen the trailer for Patrick Stewart's new Starz comedy series, Blunt Talk? It looks hilarious.
I have not.
Huh.
Oh, man. You guys need to see this.
I have not seen this.
It's... Okay, it's kind of like, you remember Newsroom?
Yeah.
On HBO?
Sure.
Take that, but let's make a real hard comedy slant on it, and Patrick Stewart's playing the Will McAvoy role.
Okay.
But he also has a massive coke habit, and he's just a bonkers deviant.
So he's basically he's an anchor, he's like a network anchor.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has
who's
coke
preaching
habit.
To people.
Okay,
and
all right. Okay,
going
I'm
off
in.
The rails. Yeah.
Literally going off the rails. Yeah. Cocaine humor.
Okay, Fernando Rodriguez says, what is a time period that you guys would like to see explored in a TV show? Very appropriate.
Yeah.
Because this is our time travel episode. For him, it would be feudal Japan.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. As long as you don't have a white dude in the lead.
Every time I think of feudal Japan...
Or
I think
any
of,
white people,
don't,
really,
yeah, don't,
at all.
Don't Last Samurai or Shogun it.
I just feel it's already been covered with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah. So why revisit
Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
Travel episode.
Allison, you got a thought on this one?
Well, we're going to talk about another period later, which is my favorite time period in history, the Edwardian.
Really?
That's my favorite time period. So we're kind of going to talk about it.
Interesting.
Okay, all right.
Is that the demographic/locale that you would choose?
No. I probably would have picked England... or maybe Russia.
Russia during the Edwardian.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Edwardian's technically only in England, but that era. That right before World War kind of stuff.
What was going on in Russia in that period? Was that Anastasia type stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, Rasputin kind of, photography
I'd watch that.
Science coming up against.
You know, there's a Rasputin comic going right now. I bet something like that might get adapted. A story of Rasputin, like, in that period in Russia would be really interesting.
Yeah.
You could do some fun stuff with that.
It's a really interesting time period where we started to make leaps and bounds scientifically and technologically, but there's still all of this, superstition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I would like
spiritualism.
I've got a few answers.
All right.
So one of the things I would like to see is sort of near future. It's not a specific time period, but near future cyberpunk. Nobody's done cyberpunk on TV since maybe like Max Headroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see something like that. I think that'd be really cool. Especially if it wasn't just cops. I loved Almost Human.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want something that's just like focusing on the cops. I want something that's from like the downtrodden,
underbelly.
Which is kind of what cyberpunk's about, is the corporations, the authority figures, those are the bad guys. I would love to see something like that.
Transmet.
Or Transmet. I would watch Transmet.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart wanted to be Spider Jerusalem.
Did he really?
Did he really?
He's a comics reader.
Shit.
And I could totally see that. Not now. I think he's too old for it. But,
yeah, that'd be weird.
But yeah. And then I would like to go back to, I know there's a lot of film in there, but 70s New York seems like, especially if you do like the punk scene, the crime scene, the corruption and all that, I think you could make a really cool piece. I'd love to see Martin Scorsese do what he did with Boardwalk Empire, but do it in like 70s New York. I think there's something like that coming. Like, I want to feel like David Simon is making something like that. But
David Simon's talking about doing a 70s
porn. Yeah.
So that goes into the porn and the mafia industry.
Yeah. But I guess that's more than California, probably.
Maybe.
I don't know. Oh, no, because they were talking about Times Square.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't know. Seventies New York to me. There's a lot of film in there, but I don't know if there's a lot of TV shows that are set in that era. And I think it'd be really interesting to go back and view that as a period piece.
I'll hit upon an answer I've given on a previous episode. I think we had a similar question. Munster, Germany, post the right after the Reformation. There, I listened to this podcast.
Hardcore
History. They go into what happened in that city in particular right after the Reformation, where people were no longer answering just to the Catholic Church, so people started spreading their own religions,
right?
And people started claiming to be prophets. And the episode from Hardcore History is Prophets of Doom. Fascinating episode. Very dark, grisly stuff. And it was just kind of zealots and chaos. And it was basically their version of David Koresh kind of compound. Pretty great story, I think, that they could pull from that, and it'd be pretty dark and twisted. I'd love to see something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go back to James Lee's question. Now you guys had a little time to think. Do you have a single best episode of this year?
I mean, honestly, that is partly my answer. Better Call Saul's 5-0 is probably my favorite episode of TV I've seen this year, but the other one is the Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, episode 7.
But I won't say too much because Allison's not up on it, right?
No, I think we're
are you caught up?
Caught up.
Are you caught
up? Yeah, we're caught up. Yeah. We're caught up.
Was it episode 7?
Episode 7.
Yeah.
With the giant battle.
Yes.
That they show.
Hard Home. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That, oh man.
Yeah,
that episode is amazing.
That might be my favorite episode of TV this year.
I feel like the episode as a whole maybe wasn't the
greatest. That's the thing. Yeah, it was a little weaker leading up to.
The last 30 minutes is better than a lot of things I've seen on TV.
Yeah. Also, Law and Order SVUs. No, I'm kidding.
Fuck you.
Get out of here.
You liar.
Anything else come into mind?
I really... that's so hard. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
Wow. Especially for somebody who never pays attention to what anything is called. So I could just be like, that one episode of that one show... Never mind. And we'll talk about some shows that I really enjoyed later. And
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
All right. Alejandro Rey Zapata says, if you could be eaten by any TV character, that's not Hannibal.
Oh.
Who would it be? You're like, oh, shucks.
Of course it's Hannibal.
But Hannibal's going to respect my body and do something delicious.
That's right.
There's something to be said for that.
This is the grossest question.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
ever.
It's really not.
I'm trying to think of a good... I want something that's going to eat me in one gulp. I want a big giant monster type.
Yeah.
But you know what? I feel like I want Hodor to eat me because I feel like maybe Hodor deserves it. He deserves to eat a person.
He deserves something.
Right? See?
Other than to just carry some bitches around on his back
all the
time.
He's got a raw deal. He's this poor, simple guy. All he can say is Hodor, and he can't communicate the sadness in his own life, and all he's got to do is carry rich boys around. So, yeah, let Hodor eat me.
It's kind of a bum deal.
I want Cliff and Norm from Cheers to eat me. I want them to share a beer and just eat me at Cheers.
So, Nami, what do you think about Long Pig then?
it's kind of chewy. All right,
Allison.
That was a good accent, by the way. Hey, Nami.
Yeah.
I think that... fucking, who's the cake pop on Arrow?
Oh,
Black Canary needs to eat me.
Yeah, I know you're talking about the new Black Canary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She needs to gain about, you know, 25 pounds. So
you feel like cannibalism is the best answer for
I
her.
Really think, like, well, whatever, you know, in the absence of eating real human food, maybe she, you know.
She'd eat human food.
She'd eat human food. Just doing my part. Just doing my part to help out America.
That's pretty noble.
Yeah, that's pretty noble. Yeah.
Charitable.
All right. We got a bunch of questions. I'm not going to get to all of them, but I'm going to hit up on a last question here. This one comes from our buddy Ryan Timothy Brace. He says, with the third season of Hannibal focusing on Red Dragon and American Gods coming to Stars, are there any other novels that you'd like to see get a TV series, either mini or ongoing?
Allison, you seem like you have an answer for this one.
Well, we actually discussed this for 2 seconds during the Ragecast the other day. I would like to see Terry Pratchett.
Discworld.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a Discworld TV show.
Yeah.
Because that takes all of the fantastic elements of Game of Thrones, and it's got a lot of interesting interpersonal stuff. And it's fun.
But it's not all bleak and
it's not super. Some of it's kind of bleak.
Yeah.
Terry Pratchett will sneak up on you. You'll think you're reading this like lighthearted little fantasy, but no, really, it's going to talk to you about some existential shit. So
it's a little bit more Rust Coal.
Well, one thing that he didn't mention is they're doing The Expanse on Sci-Fi, which I just read, and I hope they don't fuck that up because I really like that book, and I kind of want to see.
And The Stand is being developed right now.
The Stand is being developed. I want someone to do with Chuck Palahniuk's book what they did with Elmore Leonard on Justified.
Which book?
I don't know. I wouldn't know which.
Man, I really want Survivor.
I don't know which one I pick. Maybe kind of do with Justified. Like you pick one character as sort of your entryway, and then do a bunch of stuff. And actually, I'd love to see Palahniuk develop something for TV.
Yeah.
That's he what I kind of right like. It, yeah, actually. I think he'd be a good. It'd be interesting to see him apply his point of view to bringing it to TV. So.
What network?
FX.
Yeah.
Definitely FX.
Yeah.
I'm reading this Silo series right now, and I'm really into it. Hugh Howley, I want to say is the author's name.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place in these underground. Huh? Wool. The books are Wool, Shift, and I don't remember the last one, but I'm on the second one right now. But it takes place in these underground silos in a post-apocalyptic Earth where this silo has to basically, its entire civilization has to kind of survive there. And it follows a police detective who's investigating a murder, and it just kind of spirals out from there. But I could really see that whole thing being adapted into a couple seasons of a show.
Yeah.
It'd be really fun. All right, let's jump into the news.
All right, so the big news for me here is the Netflix news.
Okay.
This is a story off of Slash Film where we get a lot of our news. And the headline is Netflix viewing numbers to surpass ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox's audience by 2016.
Mmm.
Yep.
Yeah, so when we were talking about this a little before the show, we were talking about how Netflix doesn't really release numbers.
Yeah, but they're very secretive
about
everything.
But they released a little bit of numbers, and the analysis by FBR Capital Markets says that if Netflix were a Nielsen-rated TV network, their 24-hour audience numbers would be greater than that of all the major broadcast networks.
Yep.
Is that combined?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yep.
Jeez. Yeah.
Man, I was reading this other article discussing the fact that it was such a terrible mistake, misjudgment, that all the networks dismissed people watching stuff online.
Yeah.
All these cable cutters. Yep. And it's like, it's now really biting them in the ass because they're trying to play catch up.
Well, it's funny. We all knew back then that was something that was going to be big. Nobody thought that was going to be like, oh, flash in the pan.
I don't know. You think? I mean, Greg seemed to think like, oh, well, cable will never die.
Greg still thinks that.
He still kind of thinks that. He's like, sports, man. There's sports. That's such a huge industry. So how can they ever lose that? But I'm like, ESPN's going to put it, they're going to be able to stream it.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be streamed online. You don't need to have cable anymore.
No, you don't. I don't.
I don't. We don't either.
Two out of three people on this podcast have no cable.
Yeah, we have all the major services, streaming services, Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, and that's how we watch TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, and I'm having no problem keeping up so far.
Yeah.
So,
I might need to do it. I might need to take the plunge.
If you're not getting sports, if you're not doing sports, it really seems like the best way to go.
Yeah, I'm not doing sports.
Or if you're not watching like the Home Shopping Network, which I don't know. No judgment, Grant. Right. Like whatever you want to do with your day.
That sounds so judgy. I think you're just judging me.
Okay, a little.
It's fair though. I deserve it.
Okay.
So that's.
What are we gonna call ourselves? We're gonna have to rebrand.
We're still. It's still TV.
Still is TV. Still episodic TV. Content.
The episodic content dudes.
It's got a ring.
Yeah.
It rolls right off the tongue.
Just sing, when you.
All right. USA is premiering their show, Mr. Robot. We talked about it a few weeks back.
Yeah.
And there are no robots in it. So sorry about that.
I know. It's
but there is a Christian Slater. So, you know, there's that. But at any rate, it's already been renewed by USA for a season two. And they talk a little about in this article, this is from ScreenRant.com, about how networks are doing a lot of early renewals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the big reason for that is that
they get the buzz.
Yeah. They get the they get people to say, oh, this show's going to stick around. I should watch it.
Yeah.
There's right. no, I'm going to fall in love with the show. It's going to get canceled.
Yeah.
So I think it's
and what's the cost for them to back out of the renewal?
Yeah, they can always. I mean, they could absolutely do that.
I imagine there's some sort of like they'd have to pay out to whoever they
yeah.
made a contract.
There's probably a clause in there. Yeah,
but it might be worth it if it's really tanking.
Yeah,
but we liked the first episode. So
yeah, I did. I'm looking forward to catch more of it at some point.
It actually made me go USA, huh? Okay.
So while Mr. Robot is getting renewal, a certain other orange person is not getting renewed by NBC.
We call them tan Americans now.
Not this one.
Okay, I don't know who you're talking about.
Donald Trump.
Oh yeah.
You're fired.
He's gone.
You racist piece of shit.
I read some tweet somewhere that's like Donald Trump hasn't even gotten elected and he's already making the country better.
Yeah.
By getting fired.
Yeah. Yeah. This particular thing was that NBC said they due to his recent derogatory statements about regarding immigrants. So yeah. It's amazing. He's been saying stupid shit for years, but he finally managed to cross the line for NBC. So,
yeah.
So he joins.
I think a lot of people are like really. I mean, it's been a pretty impressive week for progression
yeah.
in the country.
It's been a good week.
Yeah. Yeah. Gay marriage?
Gay marriage.
That's pretty big.
It is pretty big.
That's pretty exciting.
My Facebook feed turned into a giant rainbow. It's awesome.
I know. I can't tell who anyone is anymore. I've got to read their names.
Yeah.
And, oh, Amazon has renewed Transparent for a season 3.
Boom. So, and yeah. Season 2 hasn't started yet.
Yep. So, early renewal.
Wow.
And, yeah. Killing, yeah, you get Donald Trump off TV and more Transparent on TV. I feel like...
Transparent is a huge driver, I think, for Amazon Prime anyway.
It's their first big success.
Yeah. So, yeah. It makes sense.
You didn't like it.
It's
too much people talking.
I just want to say that, you know, you pick a critic that mirrors your own personal taste, yep. and you follow them. I understand that it's a quality show, yep. and I really appreciate and respect the talent involved.
Yeah.
It's just, it ain't my bag.
Yeah, but Transparent will bring eyeballs to Amazon, which gives them more money to develop things like Catastrophes.
Definitely is
it all
bag.
Works out.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Netflix is using our money to do Fuller House.
You bring it up every episode.
I'm sorry.
So mad.
I'm just, why did you Fuller House? But they're using that Fuller House money to pull back into Daredevil Season 2, which has been called basically Daredevil versus the Punisher.
Ooh.
See, that's cool.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Because I guess, I mean, what's Vincent D'Onofrio going to do? Do you think he's still going to be a part of this in prison?
I bet he will. Yeah.
Is he pulling some strings in there?
Oh, I don't think he'll go to prison. I think he'll get out.
Yeah, he'll escape. Some prison transport truck will blow up or something.
Really? Because it could be season 3, maybe. Three of those guys in prison.
It could be.
Kind of like the was that Brubaker?
That was Brubaker's run, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, orange we'll is the new black.
Red is the new black.
Red is the new black.
Red is the new black. That Daredevil crossover with orange
color
is the new black.
Because I'm blind is the new black.
Netflix also has another new show because it's a new week and they have a new show every week. This is a teaser for a show called Narcos, which is going to be about a DEA agent chasing down legendary drug kingpin Pablo Escobar. The DEA agent in question is Pedro Pascal, who you might know better as.
The Viper from Dorne.
From Dorne, the best part of Dorne.
Yeah, it was just sad. He had to leave the show.
Yes, he did. Yeah, it's kind of hard to stay after that.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's gonna be playing the DEA agent hunting down Pablo Escobar, which sounds interesting.
Everyone's all about Pablo Escobar.
Yeah,
it seems to be like this extreme fetish. Like, there's so many projects that are all, like, surrounding this guy.
Yeah.
There are
something,
no other good kingpins.
Something fascinating about the Outlaws, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That is all the news we have this week.
There we go. All right. We will be back in a moment to talk about some TV. And time travel?
Time travel!
Catastrophe.
Catastrophe.
It's catastrophe. Catastrophe, guys. This is a new show over on Amazon.
Amazon Prime, co-produced with, I think, Channel 4, maybe in Britain.
Yeah.
It is some kind of British thing.
I feel like Channel 4 did it first and then they kind of co-produced.
No, I think I thought that this was actually a like co-production.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But six episodes.
Six. Oh, good.
It's only six episodes.
I've only seen the first episode, but you guys have both finished it.
How did you stop?
Because I watched it right before I came over here.
Oh, man.
I just didn't have time.
That's the only way I would stop because I was starting to watch it late at night.
I could time travel, Randy.
If you could time travel,
I could have watched the whole thing.
I watched an episode and I was like, "That's really funny," and it just kept, you know, it's on Amazon, so it kept playing.
Yeah.
And then the second episode played, and the third episode played, and I was like, "Okay, it's late. I need to go to bed." And then I looked up and I was like, "Okay, I'll watch one more." And then I'll watch the other like six or whatever. Because I figured it's like a 10 or 12 episode series. So then I was like, okay. And I go back out and I'm like, oh, there's only six episodes? Yeah, I'm finishing this tonight.
Yeah.
As it's so good. It's so funny.
Well, it's good that Allison's here because Allison, you're the first person I heard about this show from.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, we had been following Rob Delaney for a while on Twitter before he started doing like the comedy tours and that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
And Jason actually turned me on to his Twitter feed, which is foul and trolly and disgusting and awesome.
He looks a lot different than I thought he did in his little
Captions. Yeah. So we saw he's been to Austin, and we've seen his live show. Super hilarious. And then I've seen him on different talk shows and that kind of thing, talking about he's a big advocate for the erasing the stigma connected to mental illness and alcoholism and. Mm-hmm. Just like super impressed with that dude. Heard he was having a TV show. I was like, oh, I gotta watch it.
Yeah.
But it's so good. It's funny and sweet and real.
Yeah.
And especially, I don't want to spoil it. There are some episodes that get closer to what real relationships are like than any TV I've seen in a long time.
So, I want to ask, first of all, the Rob Delaney and Sharon Horgan are the two leads, and they co-wrote it, and they're sort of the lead producer and everything like that. So it's kind of like Spaced in that regard. There were two people who write it and do the whole thing. The quick pitch is it's American boy Rob gets Irish girl Sharon pregnant while they hook up for a week on a business trip to London, and it's where it goes from there.
Yes.
That's the pitch.
Yeah.
Have you watched You're the Worst? On FX?
You're the Worst. No.
This reminded me of that. You should watch You're the Worst.
Okay.
It's so good.
Okay.
It's like that crossed with Coupling.
Ooh, like
it's so... That's Catastrophe reminded me of so much of those two shows in particular.
Okay. I really loved Coupling.
Because it's You're the Worst is so cynical and acidic and this kind of thing. And yet, it's got this really sweet romantic relationship at its core.
Yeah.
And it's sort of about real dating, not sort of, you know, TV dating.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just really, and this really nailed that down. Like, they're, the way the two of them are, they don't bicker, but they bicker in real ways, you
right,
know?
Right,
right. The only thing I'll say, and I don't want to spoil it, but the last episode, the big thing at the end was a really dark turn for me. I was like, wow, I did not see that coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you mean...
the time travel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Time travel, dude.
Yes, I mean the end of
I have a pretty good guess what happens.
The
now.
End of the sixth episode was just kind of a wow.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. It got kind of real.
Yeah,
People quit being, you know, super nice and attractive. But that's what happens in life. But it's still so sweet and honest, and you just really like everybody on the show, even the assholes. You're just really like, oh, that guy.
Yeah,
I agree. It all feels really genuine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit disarming how earnest, I guess, Rob's character comes across.
Yeah.
Like, he seems to meet her more than halfway in the beginning.
Yeah.
In the first episode.
He's a legitimately really nice guy.
Like, he's like really like, I'm going to pursue this. And then all of a sudden the hiccup happens where, you know, oh, she's pregnant. And he
seems to hesitate for a second and then dives right into it. And I'm like, oh, I like that.
I like how their relationship, they fall right into sort of playing around with each other verbally. Like, they make a lot of jokes. They have this easy chemistry that really works.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, that's the thing. We're talking about how much the relationships are real and everything, and that's definitely a big selling point. But the biggest selling point is this is laugh out loud, hilariously funny.
I legitimately made noise with my lungs. It wasn't just like a, huh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, it was legit or LOLs. Like,
ha,
yes.
Ha, yeah, funny. No, it was me on the couch in the middle of the night. Ha, ha, ha. Just out all the way. So yeah. Yes.
That's a little evil.
Yeah.
No, this cracked me up. I just thought it was really, really funny. And I love all the different characters.
Yeah.
He's a stranger in a strange land. He doesn't know anybody. And he sort of becomes friends with a guy because he's someone that he likes
also,
well enough. But yeah. And then his old American buddy who's such a douchebag. But I love him being such a douchebag.
Yeah, no. Even like these despicable people, you just still can't help but, I don't know, kind of like them.
I was really excited to see Ashley Jensen, who is the lead lady's friend that she hates.
Yeah.
The bitch, as she describes.
Yep.
She was also from Extras as Maggie.
That's where I know her from. Yeah.
His best buddy.
Yeah, she's
like,
great in this.
I saw her and I was like, oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's great in this.
I shouldn't probably talk about it, but there's this one line that kills me. Should I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. That character, the friend character, is talking about how she is in. She's an herbalist, or she's a homeopath, and how her friend cured himself of prostate cancer with walnuts.
Yeah.
Rob Delaney's character says, "What did he do? Stick him up his asshole?" Like
that was one of my favorite scenes when he gets in her face about homeopathy, and then finds out that's what she does for a job.
Yeah,
yeah,
and he doesn't back down. He's like,
"Nope."
Nope, that's bullshit.
This is where I draw the line.
Yeah, so it's just, and that gives you a really good preview
of
his character.
That's true.
So I don't think there's not a lot of accidents and there's not a lot of fluff. It's really pretty heartfelt and well thought out.
So I'm kind of at that point where I'm like, another good show. Where do I have the time for this?
Six episodes.
Yeah.
All available right there on Amazon. Yeah, I'm definitely going to apply right through this.
And they've already gotten a season two, so it will continue.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, this is on track for one of my favorite, I mean, if not for Better Call Saul or a couple others, this is on track for favorite new show of the year kind of
really?
Stuff.
I really
liked this show.
It's going to be a top contender.
It's a top contender. Yeah,
all
it's
right,
so
well,
good.
Well, let's jump to another comedy that's over on Comedy Central called Another Period.
Another Period.
So,
time travel.
This is a little bit of, how'd I hear it described? Downton Abbey meets Meet the Kardashians.
Kardashians, yeah. Yeah, it's the Kardashians in a Downton Abbey period.
Yeah.
Pretend the TV existed and they were doing a reality show. Because they've got the talk to the cameras.
Yeah.
And it focuses on this family in New Hampshire, is that right?
New
Hampshire, Delaware, one of those worthless
East Coast small cities, small states.
We love you, listeners from the East
Coast. Except for all listeners, are the best. Everyone else in that state, assholes.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would have described it as all of the reenactment parts of Drunk History.
Yeah, it's that too.
Yeah.
Well, and they've got a lot of those people in it.
Yes.
I mean, that's the cast is amazing. It's got the lead girls are Natasha Leggero.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's her name.
Yeah.
And one half of Garfunkel and Oates. It's
Garfunkel.
Not Kate Micucci, but the other one whose name I'm blanking on. Ricky Lindholm.
Ricky Lindholm. There you
and
go.
They play sisters in this sort of inbred, you know, wealthy New England family.
Yeah.
And then their mom is Padgett Brewster, and she's great.
It took me a few minutes to figure out that was Padgett Brewster. And I went, oh!
And their dad is the Commodore, and he's
yes.
David Koechner.
Yeah.
Which I only caught There's only one episode up, right?
Only one episode up so far, yeah.
He's in it only briefly, but I can't wait for more of that.
Oh, yeah. And Chris and
Jason Ritter.
From Matt and Jason Ritter. And from Mad Men, Christina Hendricks.
Yes.
And from Mad Men's final episode, Brett Gelman.
Yeah. And also everything else on TV.
David Wayne. I mean, it's got a ton of actors. It's got a ton of Michael actors. Ian Black.
So Michael Ian Black is the butler. Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
And so, Peepers.
Yeah.
Peepers.
The first episode is about Kendricks coming in as a new, not butler.
As chair.
As chair. They name her chair.
She's coming in as
a lady's maid.
Yeah.
Lady's maid. And it also involves them bringing Helen Keller to their house.
Which, oh my God!
As a prop.
Who plays Hortense?
Hortense is Hortense is Legere, right?
Lauren Ashe.
Lauren Ashe.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God!
Or as they call her, whore.
Whore
for short.
Yep.
She's one of the funniest.
Yeah.
Actresses. She's just really good.
Yes.
So a lot of this is really absurdist humor. And
yes.
I would say it took me until about halfway through the episode before it really clicked with me. And I was just like, okay, I'm buying what they're doing. They're all having a lot of fun with this.
Yep.
And I'll not try to take anything too seriously and just kind of roll with it. And at that point, I was really digging the show.
Oh, and Thomas Lennon guest starring as as one of the 400 big families or something. They're trying to get a part of it. That was my favorite line from the episode is when he comes in and he's like, let's try this cocaine wine I just got. And they're like, oh, we're in the temperance movement. He's like, oh, it's mostly cocaine.
Yeah, no. And so I was telling Jason about that. And he's like, I don't think that's really a thing. And I was like, I think it's probably a thing.
Was it a thing?
So we looked it up. Cocaine wine is a thing. That was a thing. You just put cocaine in your wine.
Sure. Hold up.
Yeah.
Quick break.
Okay.
And we're back. From the cocaine wine break that we had to take.
That was fantastic.
Oh, man.
Oh,
my God. It was better than fantastic. It was amazing.
You showed your face. Cocaine wine in my mouth. Anyway, cocaine wine. This episode is brought to you by
the cocaine wine.
Yeah.
Folks.
We need more. Get on the Patreon. We need more cocaine wine.
Please fund our cocaine wine app. It's not as bad as a coke habit.
No, it's refined. You drink it out of a crystal goblet.
It's something dignified to it.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's fine.
Yeah, no. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
So overall, what do you guys think? Stick with the show?
I'm going to give it another couple episodes.
I think Allison's about right. Put it where I put Drunk History, which is I won't like make a point to watch it every week or anything, but I'll watch it when I'm in the mood for something kind of fun and goofy.
If it pops up and you're like,
if it pops up, I'll totally watch it. Yeah.
This is humorous, trashy fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't feel like it's the Kardashians.
Yes.
Let's move over to a couple of these dramas that we were able to check out.
Yeah.
First up is The Killjoys over on Sci-Fi.
I don't know how much I call this a drama. It's not a comedy.
It's a sci-fi action
adventure.
Sci-fi
actioner.
And I've read in a couple places that this was heralded as potentially the next, should I even say it?
Yeah, go ahead, because this is ridiculous.
The next Firefly.
Yeah, I saw IO9 wrote this gushing review about, hey, this might be the Firefly replacement you're looking for. And I'm like, way to set the bar way too high, guys. Because what this is the Babylon 5 spinoff you wish you'd had, maybe.
Yes.
And it's not as good as that. It's just it's more in line with Farscape or Babylon 5. The special effects are kind of cheap.
Agreed.
The dialogue's kind of cheesy.
I was kind of liking the intro.
The intro was good.
And then it went to a place that really reminded me of an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, you know what? I don't know what it is with Hollywood's obsession with cocktail parties.
Yeah,
like,
right?
These elegant, like, rich people cocktail parties. But it must be, like, a thing that happens in Hollywood a lot. And so these writers are like, let's insert a cocktail party because we can have one of these rich people put one on and then we can shoot there. Because what? It's, like, the most boring trope I see in these stories.
The gladiatorial fight on a slave ship made more sense. I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
That was kind of neat.
You know what would have improved that cocktail party scene?
What?
Cocaine wine.
Cocaine wine.
We got to take a quick break, guys. We'll be right back.
Yeah, so The Killjoys is a pretty good show. It's got a lot of action. There's lots of stuff. Boom, boom, boom. Stuff going on. Explosions. Yes, lots of explosions.
Yeah, this is not enough. You know what? I do appreciate cocaine wine. It's really great.
I, I don't know. I liked her dress. Like, that's yeah. my most...
Yeah, no, I
that's
actually...
Your critique
that's
of
my, that's my most impactful sentiment about the show was, like, wow, their clothes are pretty cool.
Yeah.
They didn't bug me, which, you know, I watch a lot of these shows and I go, oh, what the hell are you wearing?
Yeah.
The future. Yeah.
So I'm gonna give it a couple more episodes because it looked like towards the end we got like a really interesting little segue into the next episode with that, like the dude. Should I talk about it?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we can spoil whatever.
A dude saves her from being poisoned and then she gets the box that's got the contract kind of thing involved
whatever
in
she
it.
Has to do she's under
so I mean if it does more with the like intricacies of their society that might be interesting.
Yeah, see, she looks really interesting to me.
We should rewind. Actually, we didn't even like tell anyone what the show's about.
Sorry.
We just said it's a wannabe Firefly.
Yeah, you're right. I got so excited about the cocaine wine.
So this Killjoys follows these basically bounty hunters. They're galactic bounty hunters from what I can tell.
Yep.
The name Killjoys comes from their currency is called joys. Instead of dollars, they call them joy.
The name Killjoys comes from a bit of a stretch is what it comes
from. Yeah. I don't know. They if someone's a level 5 bounty, they can kill them. So they kill them for money. Killjoy, whatever.
And it's this part of the vernacular that they're trying to communicate.
Yep.
But it has these partners. This one lady's an assassin, and she's the main bounty hunter, and she has Sean Ashmore, who's Iceman.
It's not
that.
Sean Ashmore.
It's the other Ashmore?
It's Aaron Ashmore. It's his twin brother.
Whatever.
What?
They're interchangeable for me.
They are.
And it's got one of the Ashmore brothers, and he is her right-hand man.
Yeah,
and
basically
he goes to rescue his brother, who's a criminal, and so they got three people in their little gang that are going to go around doing bounty hunting, I guess, in space.
And I think what IO9 missed in talking about this being the next Firefly is that Firefly had a lot of really interesting, cool characters, and this has three boring characters.
Yeah.
I mean, I like her. I think she's got a lot of potential, and I think I like that actress, but even she, they didn't give her that much. They gave her a slightly mysterious past and showed that she was a badass in a kind of weekly choreographed fight scene.
Yeah, they didn't give us much with him either, Aaron Ashmore.
No.
I thought it was interesting seeing him kind of break apart from her. He's like really loyal, but he's going to rescue this guy or confront this guy. And then once I found out it was his brother, I was like, ugh, I don't care anymore.
You know, this is where
that guy was wooden.
He didn't use his ice powers at all in the whole show.
No,
not at all.
Powers.
Not even once.
What's the point?
Yeah, I wonder. It's kind of like that cocktail party trope that you know you're having issue with, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
How many white dudes like that just look slightly different from each other can we pack into a TV show when they all just sort of run together? Like, of course,
these are all the Matthew Fox characters.
Yeah,
they all look like a variation
of him. Audition for Lost.
As well.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are all just generic ripoffs of Matthew Fox.
That is at once completely heartless and mean and totally accurate. The Matthew Fox character. That should be a trope.
Yes.
People should know that that's a thing. The Matthew Fox character.
You're the tall, blank slate white dude with brown hair and shaved head.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one of those on every show.
Or more.
CBS has lots of them.
Yeah. Just pack them into the show. I mean, I will give the show a lot of points for doing that little bait and switch at the front where we think that he is the captain because he's the dude. And he's like, you assume that I'm the boss and that I'm here to take your ship. And no, that's when she's a badass and she shoots him with her crotch gun.
Yeah.
So
there is a dick gun and that's a cool thing.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
And I do think that her choreography or fight choreography was kind of but I'll give it a couple episodes before I give up. And I am a sucker for those fucking Babylon 5 shows.
Yeah,
so.
I loved Babylon 5 and Farscape was fun what I've seen of it. I mean, this is by no means a bad show. But don't set the bar that high. It is not a Firefly replacement.
You guys are far more generous than me. I'm done after this one. And if you guys end up saying, dude, check it out again, I will.
Okay.
But otherwise, I'm writing this one off.
Okay.
Lastly, Deutschland 83, a new show that popped up over on Sundance.
Sundance.
This is mainly in German.
It's a German show.
The show takes place in 1983.
In Deutschland.
In Germany, when they still had East Germany and West Germany.
Yep.
Look it up, kids. It was a thing.
It happened.
There was like a wall going through like Berlin.
This whole wall thing.
We had to memorize a whole new map in school.
Yep.
It was tedious.
There was a movie called Gotcha where a guy went into East Germany.
I don't know about this.
You lived in Germany as a kid.
I did live there, yeah.
What did you live?
I lived there during,
still
while the wall
separated?
Was there.
Oh, yeah. Right. So you lived in West Germany.
I lived there from 84 to 89, right before the wall came down.
Wow.
Yeah, we left like 4 months before the wall came
did
down.
Did you ever infiltrate the East German army at the behest of the West Germans?
I can't tell you.
Oh,
still.
Fair enough. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
As a 10-year-old boy.
Quit asking me. So this takes place with a character, a young soldier who looks like a young Michael Shannon. Does he not?
Yeah.
He looks just like Michael Shannon, but, you know, a little less weird because he hasn't aged into it yet. That he gets recruited. He's an East German soldier who gets recruited against his will to infiltrate the West and be kind of a spy, similar to the Americans.
Yeah.
And we kind of follow his story as he's forced over there.
Yeah. Well, he misses his girlfriend. His aunt is like a Stasi agent.
Yeah, and she's the one who recruits him. Yeah.
Against his will, basically. But his mom is on the list for like a liver transplant, and the only way she's going to get it is if kidney transplant. You're right. The only way that's going to work is if they pull some strings with the party, and that means that she needs to do this favor. And so they use that as leverage against him.
Do you think it's actually going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, I could see the tragic thing where his mom dies. I could also see a that pays off for him in that way. I don't know. But they need someone to be this this lieutenant for this or this assistant for a West German general. And they need someone who fits this criteria of this young guy who plays chess and all that stuff. And he fits all the criteria. Except he doesn't play the piano, so the evil government agent comes up with a little fix for that, which I thought was kind of a fun bit. And then he's undercover, and he's basically, I mean, he doesn't have any training.
Yeah, well, I feel like we're just supposed to accept that this guy is kind of a natural raw talent for this line of work.
But he drops his first brush pass.
Huh?
He drops his first brush pass.
Did he drop it to the other guy? I guess he did.
Oh, yeah. I assume he did.
Yeah. I don't know. I watched the first half of this kind of going,
yeah. It takes a little while to really get going.
A lot of reading.
Yeah.
Because it's all in subtitles.
Yeah.
But it started picking up with the action, and I really started liking the character like more and more as it went through it. And I've seen the first two episodes.
Yeah, you've
I'm
seen the
really
second episode,
digging
and I
the
haven't
show.
Yet.
Okay. Okay. So... will I like it? Is it just Mad Men in German? Because
it's more like the Americans in German.
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's what I think is different about it, which I like it a little bit more than the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I dare say so. Is that they make him a much more sympathetic character because
that's
he's doing all of this against his will.
Yeah.
He's a captive. Soldier in this battle because he didn't want to go over to the West Side. They kidnapped him, put him over there, and said, "Do it, or else you can't save your family." Basically,
right. Although,
and it makes it interesting to see all of his actions out of desperation.
He does almost get some poor woman killed because he tries to call his girlfriend. So I don't know. You know, he's not perfect by any means.
No, but I thought that just added to him being a little bit more relatable than when I watch the Americans. I just kind of see them as these cold, heartless people who put on this veneer of this loving family.
I'll be interested to see because they do a little bit this first sort of attempt to escape in West Berlin. It comes to a halt when he runs to the grocery store and sees all this crazy choice, which I thought was really cool. I'll be interested to see how tempted he is by the West German lifestyle. And that's something that I think they'll do a lot with.
Yeah, I was, as an art direction nerd and a production design nerd, I was really pleased with the production design. It's so far as I watched, which is like 45, 50 minutes into the first one, it was spot on.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't think about that. We just think, you know, there's a wall and the people on one side were dicks and the people on the other side were okay. But we don't think about things like, and there was that shot where they would do those jump cuts between what the East Germans had and what the West Germans had. And it's like fruit, no fruits. Yeah. Like that kind of thing is pretty interesting to think about sociologically. So it was interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
But a lot of reading.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing I like about this. It's an 8-episode show, and it's close-ended. Like, they're done.
Oh,
really?
But they've said that, the creator has said that if they do more, he'd like to do Deutschland 86 and Deutschland 89. So you'd sort of follow
the middle
and then the end and sort of follow the wall, seeing the wall fall, like, in this, with from these characters' points of view and that kind of thing.
Ah.
So
I was kind of hoping for a Deutschland 84.
Nope.
I mean, I'm only 2 episodes in, but I'm really into this show already. This has me hook, line, and sinker already.
8-episode series on Sundance, and then the creator has said he maybe would like to do 2 sequels, basically. I love, you know me, I love close-ended shows.
Yeah.
I'm all about the tell one story and then go back and tell another one if you want to. So that made it even more of a selling point to me.
That's pretty interesting.
But yeah, I really like this. This is another one of those came out of nowhere shows that I really like. AMC is doing really unusual, different stuff.
Yeah. So, any other closing thoughts on that show?
If put into a corner, I would wait till they all come out and then binge watch them.
I can see that. And the music choices are pretty great too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about the music.
They kept playing Nina's.
Nine Left Balloons. They've got a bunch. This is sort of 80s synth pop. Like this is the peak of it. Like New Order is in there and
Eurythmics. When he's in the grocery store.
That was my jam. That was my stuff. I was like 12 or 13 years old when all that stuff was coming out. It was
hell
perfect.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm really liking the music.
So, Randy, you haven't seen this week's True Detective.
I have not. I have to defend Gotham against the evils of the Scarecrow.
I understand. There's,
I don't have a video game console, by
the way.
There's
some interesting things that happened this week, which we will have to wait until next week or the week after to discuss.
Yep.
But we got through a bunch of really neat shows. So. Yeah. Which ones are you guys, you're going to stick with all four of them?
I'm going to stick with Deutschland, Catastrophes, and then I'll probably spot watch Another Period and Killjoys.
I'd say I'm about where you are, except for not spot watching the other two.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely can't wait for season 2 of Catastrophe. Cannot wait.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch Killjoys just to scratch that sci-fi itch. Another Period, I can't promise anything.
Yeah.
Deutschland 83.
Not your.
That's not really my jam, but we'll see. We'll see when it all drops. Maybe I'll binge it.
And we didn't talk about Humans, which I would maybe talk about next week. That's the new AMC show.
Yeah.
AMC. All right.
Yeah.
We'll have to check that out. Listeners, thank you guys for checking us out. Allison, thank you for joining us.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. This is a lot of fun.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Randy, thanks for being here.
I'm always happy to be here, Grant. Thank you for providing us with these podcast services.
Oh, well, thanks for letting me in your house to do this. And once again, you know, thank you guys for your support over at Patreon and over on iTunes. Keep checking us out for more news, and we will be back next week with all sorts of new discussions on TV, Humans, and maybe some other stuff.
Yep.
Till then.
Cocaine wine!
Cocaine wine!
Cocaine wine!
You better run, run from them. You better run, run from them. You better hide, hide, hide.
Trying to rule the world, I see. Well, young boy, I can give you everything. Diamonds, everything you touch can be. Golden, first you gotta listen to me. I'll tell the truth, I promise you. This world may frown upon the things I have you do, but I got taste and I got style. I know the twists and turns to make your life worthwhile.
Is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/tvdudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at tvdudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.
My brother, you could probably win in a shit-talking competition. My composition's the opposition of all the shit that got niggas wishing to spit. Tragic, the shit that get you deal crack and you spend cash on cement asses. My heart burns in the fire of truth. Got the heat of seven suns and immediate treatment needed. More niggas burn on war started 1792. Won't act like I'm any better, you or me, I am you. We all hate, we all love, as below, so above. We got poison everywhere, so what's a war on a drug? We at war with ourselves, type of war with no guns. So if you had to meet yourself, would you go do it or run? Cause I could be MLK, I could be Juicy J, or a lame on Instagram that shows the world is AK. 47's the way, you can follow us straight. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, you better run in some type of direction. Cause the people going nowhere are the ones that are flexing. I'm not trying to be a preacher, I was never a reverend, but I can take your ass to church and show you glimpses of heaven. You better run in